Isn't this a sports show?
Read it one more time. What is
let me click on it so I can get the full thing.
Yeah, what's the product description?
Okay, here we go. Push Pops Bubble Fidget Sensory Toys. Oh, well, come on. Okay, here we go. Start over.
Yep. One breath, please. One breath.
Almost entirely.
Push Pops Bubble Fidget Sensory Toys. Funny Relief Stress Desktop Game Soft Squeeze Toy Logical Reasoning Training Toys for Adults Children Among Us Blue.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Here we go. Sweetum Signatures, Magnetic Fingering, Magnetic Ring, Fidget Spinner, Toy Upgraded Hand Spinner for Stress Relief, Christmas and Birthday Gift for Kids, Friends, and Family.
Magnetic what?
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
That's for $50, you can get a Dinosaur Electric Train Set with remote control, smoke, LED light, sound, Dinosaur World Playset, Dinosaur Track.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810WHB.
You ever have a moment where you realized you did a good thing, but you could have done it so much better, and so you kind of just have that metallic taste of a missed opportunity? That happened to me today. In fact, it was actually just about an hour and a half ago whenever this tweet came across my timeline from People. Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly are engaged and sealed union by drinking, quote, each other's blood. Now, I almost said girlfriend Renee. That would have been wrong. Fiance Renee is at work currently.
Is she really your fiance if you haven't drank in her blood, Josh?
She has 14 missed calls and 274 text messages from me that I am awaiting a response to. Because I'm not sure if we are legally engaged or spiritually engaged.
I think you're at the very least allowed a do-over.
So I tweeted her also. Hasn't responded there yet either. Really starting to wonder where this woman's priorities are. And I asked if we could get a redo. Now look, is the ring beautiful? Yes. Were our pictures, did they turn out fantastic? Yes. Were many of our beloved friends there, not including Beards who left early and then Rudy who had other plans? Yes. Would I change anything about almost any of that whole experience? I truly would not. But if I could have gotten down onto one knee and then poured a little bit of my own blood into like a shot glass or something, I do feel like that would have been a more intimate experience. And the CDC has really loosened up lately, right? Like, I feel like...
It's not a problem at all.
I feel like the CDC would be like, hell yeah, man. Do what feels right. Yeah, then just don't be near anybody else for the rest of your life because you are technically a Does that make you a cannibal?
No, cannibal involves flesh.
Does that make you a vampire?
It makes you a vampire, is what I was going to say.
Oh! Rudy and I continue
vampires
to spend
are
a lot of
not
time
cannibals.
Together.
Never been accused of cannibalism, old Dracula. You know why? He ain't about that flesh. That's why he's got the teeth that go right through the flesh. He's like, I don't want to taste this flesh.
I got a lot of Chiefs talk, a little bit of Chiefs Broncos leftovers, a little bit of Chiefs Steelers previewing that I'm genuinely really excited to get to today. Kent Swanson of KC Sports Network is going to join us in less than 20 minutes. Jordan Foote, not just of Arrowhead Report anymore, but of Sports Radio 810 WHB, is going to be in studio with us for the entire 8 o'clock hour. We have some good audio. I'm excited to do this show today. But first, at JB Briscoe, poll question. Are vampires technically cannibals? Hashtag AES on 810. Your answers are simple. Just tell me yes or no. That is the poll question. Are vampires technically cannibals? Hashtag AES on 810. That is at JB Briscoe on Twitter. Because I got to tell you, Rudy, it is a fascinating distinction that you are ready to make there.
Yeah.
But I think...
I've studied this. I know a thing or two about cannibalism.
This is the second time in 2 weeks that we talked about cannibalism on this show.
Is it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, because you called him John Wayne Glowstick or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was.
John Wayne Baby.
Now, that's actually a very small version of the famous Western actor. Who I would watch a... I would watch that spinoff of John Wayne Baby. Is he John Wayne Gacy? Is he Baby John Wayne? Who's to say?
It's like a Boss Baby, but with a...
Whoa!
With the buddy cop duo you never thought you'd need, and John Wayne as a baby.
Oh, bleep, it's both of them.
It's both of them, yeah.
Oh, that's excellent.
Pixar, okay. TM.
Yeah, this is trademark.
Pay me for this idea as soon as you're ready for it.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much good to go.
Disney Plus needs some more content.
Hollywood execs, get moving. For John Wayne Baby... Which is like Boss, it's a Boss Baby spinoff. It takes place in the canonical Boss Baby universe, but with Baby John Wayne and Baby John Wayne Gacy.
They work for Boss Baby.
Early 20s, you're pretty confident that a vampire is not a cannibal, right?
Yeah. Here's the thing.
I almost curse about how much I love this show sometimes.
Genuinely do not know like where I've heard any of this from, but I'm like 99.9% certain that it is like cannibalism has nothing to do with blood. It's the flesh. I am like... That is like a hill I'm willing to die on, and I'm not 100% sure how I know this, but I'll die on it.
I really respect the pure...
I think there's a distinction there.
Just the pure energy you have around that distinction makes me really respect that you know more about it than I do. We are 20 votes in, just a quick 20 votes right out of the chute, plenty of game left here, but 85% of people are saying yes.
So, Ice Pyro makes a good comment. I assume he's talking about vampires. Vampires don't technically eat. They drink. And I feel like cannibalism has to involve eating, not drinking. Well, I guess if you drank like a liver, you know, stew, that might still be cannibalism, but you get my point. Blood, you're no cannibalism. Flesh and organs, cannibalism.
Okay, now a new poll question, and then we're going to talk about the Chiefs. It's just now poll, are Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly now technically cannibals? I'm not going to say now because that implies that they haven't been cannibals before.
I was going to say goals, but tomato, tomato.
No, it's blood.
I'm guessing you have not seen American Horror Story.
No, I will not. It's too spooky.
These two are straight up doing American Horror Story Hotel. Like,
yeah, that
scene
makes
for
sense.
Scene.
Sure.
The opening of that season, it's Lady Gaga and I forget the actor's name, basically seducing another couple there and then soaking in their blood. That is basically what Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly are doing here.
Wow. That is...
It's a good show.
That is...
Big fan of the AHS.
Will you put that in your shot clock reviews? I know it's not, like, newsworthy, but I just would actually like to hear you talk more about it at some point. Because
yeah.
It's very intriguing to me, but also I'm a little baby.
I've not seen the most recent season.
I'm a little boss
which
baby.
Which I believe is currently going on. But I've seen, like, the first 7 or 8 or, you know, wherever it is. I think the most recent one was 1984, which was, like, a spoof of, like, you know, your 1980s horror, like, thrasher films, right? Like, Jason, you know,
sure.
Nightmare on Elm
Your
Street.
Your slasher flicks.
Slasher flicks. That's the word I was wanting.
Speaking of grisly bloody murders that will be televised for millions of people, let's talk about Chiefs Steelers.
Your wedding.
All three of those were good answers. All three of them. Chiefs Steelers, the Megan Fox Machine Gun Kelly wedding. To tell you the truth, Rudy, I wasn't even going to make the joke about my, I guess, now imminent wedding. There's no, like, date or anything. But I think that process is going to be grisly and bloody all the way leading up to it is my concern, and it'll be my blood everywhere.
I think we have a date for your wedding. It's just whenever Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox decide their wedding. I mean, like, it has to happen on the same day, I feel like.
Now, this is a long time to wait, but when is April 20th, 2022?
Dude, you
what day
should.
Of the week? It's a Thursday.
I was gonna say you should do
June,
February 22nd, 2022. Just get a nice.
Wow,
2, 2, 2, 2, 2.
That's pretty good. I like that. That's a lot of scrolling back.
Yeah. But,
well, that would be. Now you do know that would be
got
in
a lot
month.
Of work to get done.
Okay. You said 2022. Good news is,
Chiefs season will be over.
That's true. Yeah, football's
over. Super Bowl.
Yeah. All right. Yep, we got a... Sounds like 44 more missed calls headed Renee's way.
I mean, you could wait till 2066 and then do June 6th of 2066.
But also, that might be the Megan Fox Machine Gun Kelly plan.
Nice little 6666.
June 9th, 2023 is a Friday. You have a Friday wedding.
It's not bad, dude.
It's a nice day. It's the nicest, some would say.
Some would say.
Giving me a lot to think about. Also from BTM on Twitch. Hey, yes, is the best. It's making quarantine so much better. Thank you guys for this show. Oh, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. This service that we've provided of these 10 minutes of content to kick off your Wednesday evening. And also, I hope you feel well.
I don't know if we could, like, get around the DMCA. But I do think at the end of all of our intros should, like, right before you talk, should be the VeggieTales. Oh, boy, do we have a show for you. I don't know if we can, like, work around that.
We can get that clip. Yeah, we should. Blomp, blomp,
because that was
blomp,
the first
blomp.
Thing I thought of.
Yeah, that's great.
It was just Larry the Tomato going.
Whoa, it's Larry the Cucumber and
Bob
the Tomato.
Bob the Tomato going, do we have a show for you?
Veggie Tales. Yeah, I love that.
That show is so good.
So good. How are we going to get these young kids to learn about the Bible? I don't know. What if we make it? What do kids hate? Salad? Yeah, they hate salad. What if we make salad characters? Bong rip. Yeah, Jerry, that's a great idea. Thanks, Bob. What should we name the main characters? I don't know, Jerry.
Such a good show.
So,
I mean, Larry Guy was a superhero who wore...
Larry Boy!
Larry Boy, wow.
Don't step to me in the fruit and vegetable section.
My bad. But he wore plungers on his head.
Yeah, he did.
So good.
He bleeping did. Larry Boy was another level, man.
We need Larry Boy in the MCU. That's the next thing to come to the MCU. Give me Larry Boy in the MCU.
I gotta.
At the very least, give me, like, Easter eggs of, like, just cucumbers and backgrounds of scenes, and one of them just happens to be dressed up.
Just a perfect, just like, a plunger with, like, the red, like, a traditional red plunger just sitting in a bathroom somewhere, and then a cucumber getting eaten in another scene. I don't care.
Yep.
It can be ghoulish.
I just need little Easter eggs. Or just straight up Larry Boy.
It's going to be hard to do the rest of the show whenever we know the best idea from it was done in the first 15 minutes.
this is the best we had.
It really was.
I can put it into ESPN automation.
I mean, we might as well keep trying, but don't hold your breath for it to get better than that, folks. Which also could be another one of the main taglines of this show. Here's the thing, is we're in a weird spot here on Wednesday. Because, like, Thursday and definitely Friday, and then here on this station, Saturday and Sunday, really, are all, like, about leading up to Chiefs Steelers. It's playoff action. Usually your Mondays and even your Tuesdays are about the game before. But we're kind of here in this no man's land of Wednesday where you can kind of lead in either direction, but especially the last game of the regular season. Was there anything from the Broncos front that you should care about before we fully shift into this playoff mode here? And there were a couple of things from Chiefs Broncos that I thought were interesting that have stuck with me now that we should keep in mind as we have the conversations we're going to have for the remainder of this week. There were a couple of lessons that I thought could have been learned that weren't. The Chiefs are never going to go for it on 4th and 6th from midfield. They're going to punt there every time. It's gonna go into the end zone. It's gonna be a touchback. It's all gonna be for 25 yards of field position. You're gonna voluntarily take the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands. Andy Reid has now made that call twice consecutively. Maybe I should stop asking for it. Our dear friend Matt Derrick had a stat about that. There was, I think it was ultimately one time in Andy Reid's career where he went for it in a spot like that. I think it was like late fourth quarter and they didn't get it or something like that. There's that element of things, and also maybe I've just been burned by this too recently as a football watcher, but there was the first drive, and then also late in the game they actually connected where Drew Lock had Jerry Jeudy just in the bleep it, my receiver's down there somewhere mode that you need one of those alien wideouts to go up and get. And Jerry Jeudy isn't Ja'Marr Chase, but he is a very good wide receiver who, if the Broncos do land a quarterback, is going to be the guy that I'll buy in on in every fantasy league for a big year, because he's finally not catching passes from Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Lock or Case Keenum. Was he there? He was there last year, right? 2 years ago? Jerry, I feel like Case Keenum's been on every Broncos team of my lifetime.
Yeah, he's definitely been a Bronco. I'm not 100% sure if he's thrown to Jerry Jeudy, but definitely a Bronco.
If it's not literally Case Keenum, it's figuratively Case Keenum.
Trevor Siemian?
I think Siemian
was gone.
I think you're
Jerry
right.
Jeudy was there.
But there's no way to know. And I'm not even saying there's a way to find it, because if you look closely into it enough, their names all blend together. They become Case Siemian or whatever, and we all move on. But Locke missed the first one of those. And then later in the game, they connected. I am nitpicking on a couple of specific plays here, just because watching those, even in a game that I did not expect to be as close as it ultimately was, both of those for me brought occasion to be reminded by the fact that there is a weakness that you can exploit against almost any defense, but the Chiefs are certainly not immune to that, which is that our quarterback throws a well-placed ball up outside to a one-on-one matchup with an alien of a wide receiver going up against your merely extremely good human being playing defensive back. And the offense always, this is sort of a cliche, but the offense always has that advantage of they know where the play is going and you don't. But in a spot like that, we have seen it spark up in a way that has been damaging to the Chiefs a couple of times. The fact that it didn't land the first time wasn't that the play wasn't there. It's that Drew Lock missed him. There are some elements within that whole scope, along with one of the things that we talked about a little bit last week, and Kent was the guy that tweeted out one of the stats along these lines that I want to ask him about. But the Chiefs losing at the beginning of the year came against a bunch of really good teams for the most part, and teams that we expect them to have to go through again. The Ravens got really, really hurt. The Chargers were right there on the edge, obviously. But then the Bills and the Titans, like, the Chiefs are going to have to be at least one of those two teams in all likelihood. I think there's technically a way that they wouldn't have to if the Patriots won twice, I guess. Going through the playoff picture in my head there. But, and then the Bengals, obviously, if it's not the Raiders advancing and it's not the Bills they would have to see, then the Bengals are right there among those teams as well. They've lost to these teams that they're going to have to see again. And the Broncos game felt a little more similar to how the Bengals game was going than to how the first round of the Steelers game went. Again, not even looking ahead to this upcoming Steelers game. We'll start doing that in literally 5 minutes. But the Broncos game did the thing that you hear good, like, lawyers talk about. You've got to have beyond a reasonable doubt. And the Broncos game, specifically following the loss of the Bengals, just has a little seed of doubt. You put a gun to my head and say, pick a team to come out of the AFC. I'll just say Chiefs. You say, who is the team in the AFC who you should be most fearful of, has the highest ceiling, should go the farthest, is the most dangerous, whatever. I would tell you the Chiefs. But I do not know that they have even the highest floor among these AFC teams, and maybe they still do, because if you were going to say, well, actually, the Patriots have the highest floor. Yeah, but if you're going to do the full graphs of, like, potential range of outcomes,
the floor is the ceiling for the Patriots.
It's just a line. Yeah, just kind of a line there, and then 80% of the Chiefs' outcomes reside above that straight line that Rudy has sharpied on there for the Patriots. Like, I'm not even sure that most of those parts of the conversation are even useful ones to continue having at this point. But if you told me from you walked out of a time machine and you said, here's tomorrow's winning lottery numbers, I know you're going to want those, and also the Chiefs lost in the playoffs to the Bengals, Bills, or Titans, I'd go, that's too bad. Not you, filthy liar! Where are you really from? Are you with Tesla? I don't think this is why the playoffs, though, ultimately worked out really well for them. Talk your bleep about the Chargers if you want. I'm not gonna join you there, because I do not think the Chiefs have a reasonable path to losing to the Steelers or Raiders in these playoffs. So the Patriots to a lessened extent than those other three. The fact that the Chiefs are in a spot where they might not have to play an actually good football team until the AFC Championship game is wild. And certainly a huge advantage for this weekend. Not as good as a bye week, but getting the Steelers on the rematch is pretty good news. We'll take a break and then spend a good chunk of the remainder of this show talking about what we've seen from the Chiefs through the regular season and then what we're looking for as the Steelers game comes up. There's nothing to look forward to, so we can't get ahead of ourselves. We'll talk about that with Kent Swanson of the KC Sports Network whenever we come back.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I've been a Chiefs fan now, and I've for my entire short life, and I haven't seen any quarterbacks that are out here ready to go rock a jeans commercial. I want Patrick Mahomes to have the ability to go absolutely crush a commercial selling denim. I want that for my quarterback.
With Joshua Briscoe.
What are they going to do with his voice?
It's Pat Mahomes with Lee Jeans here.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I don't even know that I would have caught it if Rudy wouldn't have just thrown his arms in the air. At least turn the music down, you absolute amateur. It's not ESPN Kansas City.
Just assume. I
think you've played that a couple of times.
I think this is the second time I've done it. I'm 99% confident of that.
You are listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB Kansas City, the home of Almost Entirely Sports. What you now know, though, is that that liner is so old that it was from when Almost Entirely Sports used to be exclusively over on ESPN Kansas City. Those days are in the rear view, but the I don't want to say definitively. Right now, that's not where we are. Is that better?
I mean, with my performance, you never know. There might be a demotion along the way.
Yeah, we could end up back in the radio there's Omaha
definitely some
at some point.
Soccer,
you know?
Promotion relegation thing going on. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, did we win ESPN Kansas City and then get to come over here? Is that fair?
Really think
about it, because I think we did. I'm going to give us that.
Yeah. If being the only person competing still is a trophy. You still get a trophy for first place at the end of the day.
If the promotion relegation system is in place, you may as well take advantage of it. That, though, is the sign that, yes, that was from a past day. But what I was going to say
that right now, because last time apparently I decided not to.
And again, we can spin this into a positive, Rudy. It's not just about your monumental mistake that could cost us billions in fines from the FCC. I don't think it could. But what I was going to say is that, you know, while that's in our past, Kent Swanson is back in our present and, dare I say, back in our future. You can follow him on Twitter at Kent_Swanson and read all of his work across KC Sports Network. The Substack is at kcsn.substack.com. You can get all their stuff at kcsportsnetwork.com. But the Substack and the Twitter account are a good place to start. Kent, do you feel massively disrespected by the unprofessionalism shown by Rudy Salazar?
Yeah, I mean, ever since Beard's left, there's just been a gaping hole in this program. And every time Rudy calls me, I'm just, like, slightly disappointed it's not Beard. So, I mean, you know, I was thinking about that little bumper or intro, whatever you call that. I don't know the radio term. I'm a podcaster. But
sure.
That was back in, like, the Last Jedi era. Like, Star Wars The Last Jedi. That was the same window that we were talking about Porgs.
Yeah.
And that's just, I mean, that terrible Kermit the Frog impression turned Patrick Mahomes impression was just, it was simpler times, Josh.
Yeah. But better times, may at least, I mean, simpler for sure, because we just didn't know, we didn't know what was ahead. But isn't that always the truth? Isn't the past always a simpler time? Think about that one. Really think about that.
Okay, you're getting way too existential for a Wednesday night.
Not for me, I'm not.
It's only Wednesday.
I know! I feel that, Rudy.
Well, look, I mean, we've got less time to talk to you now because we had to spend so much of the time really painting over, shellacking over Rudy's mistake.
Gotta fix. Won't happen again until I find the next liner that hasn't been fixed.
I like it.
Rudy, it will happen again, buddy.
Yes. So
it will.
There is a folder full of liners titled AES on A10. And Beards did not change all of them to 8-10 liners. Some of them say ESPN Kansas City.
Really bold move of Rudy to speak ill of the dead.
Well,
I don't know. It's poor form, Rudy.
Well, see, this is actually my fault because I died for 3 years.
True.
Yeah.
Honestly, I will own this. Like, this is partially on me because I had a fatal passing. You know?
Can take all the blame. That's fine. I'll give it to you.
But look, we got you back with some science, some religion, some magic, some sexuality, man. I mean, it was a big witch's cauldron to get you reanimated.
Was that one of those sentences where you started it and didn't know where it was going to end?
Yes. You heard me up in the air with the ball in my hand and go, "Uh-oh. I got to shoot this, right?"
You took it way farther than I thought you would.
That feels like more of a you misjudging who you're talking to.
You didn't hear the beginning of the show.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. No kidding.
I'm going to have to listen back, aren't I?
Yeah. I mean, if I ask you about it, it will become this whole segment, and I have theoretically promised people that I would ask you a couple of Chiefs questions. So you can grab the podcast and then text me if you want.
I'll do that. I actually might listen back.
I'll just give you this is a tease now for the first segment for everybody if they missed it. We just talked about how Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly apparently got engaged and then drank each other's blood to fulfill the ceremony. And I
saw you tweeting about that.
Yeah.
I saw you tweeting about that today.
That's all. And I was just wondering if I missed out on an important memo that I didn't get. You know, I feel like I missed opportunity.
No, I love my wife dearly. I will never drink her blood ever.
Rudy, can you mark that one for the next liner? Because I think that out of context would be awesome.
On ESPN Kansas City.
On ESPN Kansas City. Yeah, go ahead and really smudge the end of that one. We just did our best, Kent, to talk a little bit of football following all of that last segment, and I am ready to fully put the Broncos game away, like, in just a second. But I am curious because, I mean, you tweeted about this, and we talked about it some last week, of just, like, for me, it's not even about the record, but, like, how the Chiefs have looked against their better opponents and against teams they're likely to see in the playoffs again. I wanted the Broncos game to assuage some of my fears and to wash out the taste of the Bengals game and all of that. Do you think that you learned anything from the Broncos game, or would you at least be willing to give, like, oh, they didn't really solve anything in that game? Did that do anything for how you feel now going into the playoffs?
That Broncos game did absolutely nothing for me.
Okay.
Absolutely nothing. It didn't make me feel any differently about this football team, good or bad. Just because, like, it didn't seem like they wanted to be there. It didn't seem like the Broncos wanted to be there. The only person that seemed like they might have wanted to be there was Drew Locke, trying to get that paper.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't think there was too much to take away because, like, this team is clearly kind of they were very much, you know, playoff minded. They were very much kind of, you know, seemed like they had one foot into the playoffs already. Mm-hmm. So I can't really glean anything. It's go time. We're going to see what's going to happen. You know, there's definitely more questions about this team than I think any team we've seen in the last 4 years with the Patrick Mahomes era. And I don't really know if they're going to go away. It's a matter of them putting it all together.
Yeah. Because where I'm at now, looking at the playoff field, and this is still wild, this is theoretically me being a downer. But if if you told me that you were a time traveler from the future and that the Titans or Bills or Bengals beat the Chiefs in the playoffs, I would my reaction would not be one of like disbelief. It would be one of, yeah, I mean, that I guess that makes sense. The crazy thing is that half of the playoffs I don't feel that way about, even now, where the Patriots would surprise me a little bit and the Steelers and Raiders would stone cold stun me. So maybe that's just how far the Chiefs have climbed in terms of expectations. But whenever you look at how this playoff field ultimately shook out, which people could read your thoughts on at kcsn.substack.com right now, how did you feel about how that all shook out?
I mean, yeah. If you're not getting a bye, the closest thing is having to play the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Uh-huh.
And, like, that's a great draw. Like, the Chiefs are very blessed to be playing a team with, if you take Ben Roethlisberger's comments at face value, which I really don't, like, he's already just, like, given them zero chance of winning. I think that's just a some kind of stupid ploy. But, mm-hmm. I mean, you've got the teams. Like, I think it's always going to be a handful of teams that can legitimately challenge this team in a real kind of game. And, I mean, can the Bengals sneak up on them again? Sure. Can the Bills and the Titans beat them? I actually, you know what? It's tiered with the Titans and the Bengals are in the same tier for me, and the Bills can absolutely beat them. Everybody else is a throwaway. I mean, it's just a matter of which teams in which order they play, and you're hoping that you can avoid a couple. I'm hoping to avoid the Bills is really what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would ride with you on that, I think. I think they're the team that would give me the most concern, and I don't know. I feel like I have gone full circle on the Titans like three different times over the last 2 years, and so ask me about them in a week, and I might have a completely different opinion. I don't know. Maybe that's bad of me. But you sound like a man that has absolutely not a breath of concern anywhere in your body about the Pittsburgh Steelers.
The only concern I have about the Pittsburgh Steelers is just pain from past Chiefs fanhood.
Right.
Like honestly, like the only thing is like there's always just this little monster around the corner,
mm-hmm.
with a Chiefs fan, and Patrick Mahomes has defeated that monster time and time again. But still, like there's just a little bit of you in the back of your head. You're worried that something stupid is going to happen because a lot of stupid has happened over the course of our lifetime.
Well, and on some level, a lot of stupid has happened this year, right? Like that. I think that's what I keep trying to dig in at, even for myself, is to figure out what I am still worried could come back to bite them and what likely won't. Like, do you have an example on one side of the differentiation and one on the other, or anything in that realm where you go, this worried me after week six and still does now, or this worried me in week six and doesn't anymore?
I mean, it's the offense. Like, I don't think, I mean, like, I could see the Chiefs offense. I could see the Chiefs' offense kind of, you know, maybe not putting together a complete performance. I could see mm-hmm. both sides of the football doing that, really, because, mm-hmm. I mean, the defense, you know, against good quarterback play is susceptible to some quarterbacks making some big-time throws. The Chiefs force, you know, some throws outside the numbers that not every quarterback can hit, but some elite ones definitely can. So, like, there's that. But then offensively, like, this team has shown, you know, they put some duds out there. And the formula has largely been playing too high structures and, you know, sit too high, rotate into, you know, man-free or sit in that too high shell and keep everything in front of you. And dumb things have happened at stretches of the season where, you know, this team hasn't shown ability to put drives together and put them in the end zone. So, like, there's definitely cracks in the armor differently than we've ever seen in this team. And if they all happen at the same time, which they have before, mm-hmm. then this team's going to have problems.
This is super meta, but what do you do in terms of, like, evaluating that? Because everything you just said, I think, is demonstrably true. I also don't know if there's a way for us to predict it or to actually take anything from it after it's happened. So what do we do with that? We've been dealing with it for a year now.
Right. I don't know. I don't know entirely. But I think the fear of all those things happening again is probably old Chiefs fans, you know, kind of old Chiefs fan vibes for sure. Like, I think expecting all the bad things that happen at the same time. I think there's a sample size of this team taking care of things and improving week over week on some of these areas, like specifically on offense. You stop turning the ball over,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like that hasn't really come back to bite them. But you're going to say if this team's going to lose in the playoffs, it's going to be because of some stupid fumbles on the in plus territory, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like they should have calloused us enough and created a new expectation, but like it's always going to be in the back of your mind, especially. I mean, every time Mecole Hardman touches the football, everyone is always thinking the same thing: don't fumble, mm-hmm. don't fumble, mm-hmm. don't fumble. You know, it's the only bad thing that can happen. You know, when the ball's in his hand, he's running down the field. So, I think it's just like there's just something in the back of our head there. I think with all this.
What about in the particulars of the pass catchers? Because, again, we've now got a full regular season, and I don't think that anything has become especially clear, at least not in terms of, like, a breakout player, you know, grabbing a role by the throat or whatever. We've seen some ups and downs from everybody, but you've gotten a few impactful games from Byron Pringle. Mecole Hardman ends up with his first 100-yard receiving game as a Chief in the last week of his third regular season, and he'd been close to 100 yards before, maybe it's semantics, whatever, but he talked about it after the game, like it was something that he had been kind of carrying with him. You get a couple Josh Gordon targets here and there that end up in pass breakups or drops or nothing. Like, whatever, not even necessarily for Chief Steelers, but as a look back at the regular season, what did we learn from the experiment amongst Chiefs receivers?
Do they need to stop experimenting next year? I mean, like, I think Byron Pringle's made some big strides largely, you know, during the second half of the season. And, mm-hmm. you know, I thought he was treading in the right direction until they had some miscommunications between him and Mahomes last week. Mm-hmm. But I think there's been enough there to feel better about that. You know, Hardman is what he is, and maybe they can get his speed involved with some of these bubbles and some of the, you know, screen game a little bit better during the playoffs, a little bit more consistently than they have. Who knows? We'll see. But, I mean, there's still a lot of questions there. And, like, I think that's part of your, you know, I think that's sitting in the back of your mind as a Chiefs fan, too, is, like, are we going to have enough consistency if teams are able to, you know, take Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill away if Tyreek Hill is healthy mm-hmm. for the next three, you know, the next four games? Because that's not a guarantee. Same with Kelce. Like, there's questions there. And if the Chiefs lose one of those guys, obviously it's going to hurt. But the gap between wide receiver one and wide receiver two is massive and maybe bigger than about any team in the NFL.
Is there anything from the Steelers that would give you pause in terms of just how they might try to handle that? Again, I know we're talking about a team that we just watched, you know, 3 weeks ago, but theoretically a healthier TJ Watt at least seems scarier.
Yeah, but, like, if you go back and watch that game, like, T.J. Watt wasn't going to be a factor because Mahomes was doing such a fantastic job getting the ball out of his hand. Mm. And he was so decisive. And, like, we talk about, I mean, like, the best outcome you could get in a game where Travis Kelce didn't play and Tyreek Hill was essentially a non-factor for 57 minutes of that game mm-hmm. was Mahomes just carving him up, getting the ball out of his hands decisively. A lot of guys stepping up and making some of these plays. And like, that was a big moment for all those guys, hopefully, that they can carry over where they were leaned on a little bit more and they all kind of stepped up and rose to the occasion. But, like, yeah, I don't think T.J. Watt's health is really, really a big deal as long as Mahomes is as decisive as he was this game.
Well, and like you said also, I mean, that was with virtually nothing from Tyreek Hill and literally nothing from Travis Kelce. Like, that ended up being kind of the COVID game going into it, and it didn't really matter. Because they won by 26, and now here we are again in the first round of the playoffs. Like, I just sell me anything on the Steelers. If I'm forcing you to say, all right, make me take this seriously. What is you know what? Let me ask it this way: what is Andy Reid saying to the Chiefs this week? And not what is Andy Reid saying to the Chiefs that we're allowed to hear at the podium? Because that yeah. version of Andy Reid is the least truthful version of Andy Reid that exists. I want to know what's happening in the locker room this week.
I mean, there's probably an emphasis on just taking it one week at a time and just worrying about who's in front of you and taking care of business and putting in the work and letting it take care of itself, taking care of itself and all that stuff. Like, that, I know that's coach speak, but mm-hmm. like, this is a process that these teams actually adhere to. Mm-hmm. But it's boring. I don't think that they're going to go out and try to scare the Chiefs. Like, I don't think that's one of his tactics. That's more like a Belichickian tactic. But I do think that he's probably placing an emphasis on them just focusing and getting better. I don't think it's always coach. It's coach speak, but it's true. Every time Eric mm-hmm. Bieniemy says it, there really is some legitimacy to that, even though it is, you know, the most cliche stuff you've ever heard when him and Andy and Patrick Mahomes always say that kind of stuff. There's truth behind it. So they're gonna go through the process and commit to the process, and the process is gonna be enough for them to bop the Steelers and probably cover the 12.5-point spread it is right now.
What do you think the score would be if Chad Henne started and finished the game? Like, there's just zero snaps for Patrick Mahomes. He just gets a bye week.
If I told you I hadn't thought about that, like, at least a little bit, I'd be lying. I mean,
what's the spread? Yeah. 13.5?
No, the spread's probably Chiefs minus.
No, I mean right now. As currently.
The spread is 12.5.
12.5. Yeah. Okay.
You know, Mahomes is worth at least 8 points.
Which is crazy, by the way, just in like the larger scheme of how point spreads work. You're totally right, but it's also nuts. So you think the Chiefs would cover with Chad Henne?
I think they would. I do. I mean, the Chiefs team won with Chad Henne against the Browns, and a better Browns team last year than this Steelers
team. That's true. Holy bleep, I forgot about that.
Right?
They did this already.
So, like, you know, I mean, like, I don't know. Like, hopefully this team just goes out, puts their foot on the gas, and Chad Henne does get to just play the second half. That would be delightful.
So it was in the divisional round, obviously, because they had the bye. But, I'm pulling it up here to get the exact date. It will be a year ago Monday, and not Sunday, but a year ago Monday, they beat the Browns 22-17. No, wait, this is Patrick Mahomes. What have I done? No, hold on. How much of this game was Chad Henne ultimately? Where did they?
I don't know.
It was just like the fourth quarter, right? It wasn't enough for my sample size.
No. Mahomes went out in the first half.
Did Chad Henne only throw 8 passes in a half and change?
He played, like, I think Chad Henne played the majority of, like, he played for sure 2 quarters and I think most of the 3rd quarter.
I'll continue to research this for in a second because I'm fully.
You don't like this narrative anymore, do you?
I just thought it was going to be funny, and then I realized that there was that this had literally happened last year. But I want wire to wire, Chad Henne. I think they'd be the Steelers. You said it already. The Browns that Browns team is better than the Steelers team, and I don't know that it's close.
Easily.
I wanted to actually touch on something that your KCSN and KC Lab podcast mate Matt Lane tweeted out earlier. Where he was responding to a tweet about the Chiefs' backfield. And we don't know the exact health of these guys, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Darrell Williams were both limited participants in practice today. Derek Gore has found a little bit of a role. Jerick McKinnon had his best game as a Chief, which wasn't a ton of work, but did have a score and a couple of nice moves. If you get that full backfield together, what do you like that split looking like? And then I'll follow up with what I thought was interesting from Matt.
Well, man, I don't know. Like, that's very tricky. I still like Clyde the most of that group. So, I mean, I tend to lean giving Clyde the majority of those reps. Darrell Williams definitely deserves to get involved. I like Derek Gore, but, like, I don't know, man. I still think you got to lean on your top guys. Like, I still think Clyde and Darrell Williams provide more than a Derek Gore, than a Jerick McKinnon do. I think they're less predictable with those guys on the field, too.
So Patrick Mahomes was hurt with 7:44 left in the third quarter. So Henne got a quarter and a half. A quarter and a half 30, of Chad Henne.
No, 30, in the second quarter.
Third quarter.
Third quarter?
Third quarter.
Oh, okay. I thought it was way more than that.
Field goal drive, 7:44. Yeah. But, yeah, that's a quarter and a half from Chad Henne. That's still any given day. Was this on a Sunday?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
He took care of it. Yeah, he took care of it.
One of the things that Matt mentioned, I think we've talked about this at some point, but I think it's super interesting, and I need somebody better at explaining it than me to take it, so I'll have you do that. His take was whoever forces the Chiefs to run gap instead of wide zone And he went and looked at the – some of these are smaller sample sizes like McKinnon. But he said Derek Gore ran 47% gap. McKinnon's run 42%. Darrell's run 36%. Clyde has run 24% gap versus zone. I'm going to need you to re-explain that again because I trust you to do it a whole lot better than I will. But also, what are the Chiefs seeing differently? Maybe specifically around Clyde there because he seems like the outlier of that group.
Buddy. I don't know, because I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire would absolutely thrive in a gap scheme. And he does get a much smaller sample size on that. And you want me to walk through?
Explain the difference for dummies. And by for dummies, okay. I mean like you're explaining it to like a five-year-old or an idiot or me, any of those.
Okay, so zone blocking is what you see the Chiefs run a lot of times. That wide zone he's talking about specifically is where – every lineman is taking a zone step. They're taking, you know, there's a various angle to that step based on if it's inside zone or outside zone. They're trying to, you know, stretch the line of scrimmage. They're trying to kind of, how do I explain this? They're moving the line of scrimmage and they are moving the access points for the running back kind of laterally a lot of times with the wide zone. The gap scheme, okay, does that make sense?
Yes, I think that's
right. The gap scheme, you're going to be making a lot of determinations up front based on where the defensive linemen are lined up. You are responsible for certain gaps and guys sitting in those gaps. And you are blocking men. You might be double teaming with, you know, a center and a guard might be double teaming and then working up to a specific man or anybody entering a specific gap. It's more angle blocking. It's more vertical blocking up the field than it is kind of changing where the line of scrimmage and the access point for the running backs. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a lot of success with a lot of gap blocking, man blocking at LSU. I think this offensive line, and the reason Matty is always so adamant about them running, is this offensive line has proven to be designed, or the skill sets of these guys seem to be more capable of running gap scheme than they are, you know, running that outside zone stuff. And it's frustrating because, I mean, they're good at it. They are good at it. I mean, Derek Gore has had a lot of success when they've run gap stuff, to his point, they've used a lot when he's in.
30-second version of this answer, I guess, but why is there not more of that? Why is that so lopsided? Let's say make a 15-second answer.
It's the greatest question ever because we've been wondering the entire year. And maybe, honestly, maybe there's some tendency breakers in the playoffs. And maybe they've been holding back a little bit. They've been showing it enough, and they're going to use it more in the playoffs. That's one speculation I have.
Quick, your favorite VeggieTale?
I don't know. I the rumor weed's off the top of my head right now.
I was thinking about the rumor weed earlier. Rumor weed is excellent. Thank you, Kent. You can listen to why we got to VeggieTales in the first segment. Because, frankly, I can't remember.
Uh-oh. From blood to VeggieTales, huh?
More or less.
Basically.
I mean, it's not worth any actual explanation. Follow me on Twitter at Kent_Swanson, KCSN.substack.com. Everything the KC Sports Network does, you can get Kent there. Oh, I thought that was the end of the... Sorry, now it's 10 seconds. You want to change your answer or still go to the rumor weed?
I haven't. Madame Blueberry was pretty good, too.
Thank you, Kent.